some of those unforgettable memories, the ones that are found in the deepest recesses of our lives that speak to us on the most profound levels, are the songs that we learn as children. Like, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." That those words might take us back to the days of Vacation Bible School. That when we hear them, we want to hold our light in the air and start singing. That those words are a calling to let our light shine. But they are also an invitation to see the light of God in others. It has been quite some time since I went to see a movie, where you buy your ticket and purchase your popcorn. And it has been even longer since I went to see a movie early in the afternoon, taking advantage of that matinee price. The few times that I have gone to see an early movie in the middle of the afternoon has usually been around a holiday, where the extended family is lounging around the house after a big lunch. It's raining outside. Everybody's trying to decide what to do, and then all the cousins decide to go and see a movie. And there is a difference between going to see a movie in the evening, like a 7 o'clock showing, where the sun has gone down, and seeing a movie early in the afternoon where the sun is still bright. That after a movie early in the afternoon where you've been sitting in the dark for several hours, you leave the movie theater, opening the door to the outside, and the sun is almost unbearable. It is too bright to see. That it takes our eyes a minute to adjust. Which is why we walk up that mountain of the transfiguration of the Lord every year. The transfiguration is not, as Jeffrey Conklin Miller writes, a class that Harry Potter takes at Hogwarts. It's about seeing the light of Christ, letting our eyes adjust to it. And on the church's calendar, the Transfiguration is the last Sunday in that season after Epiphany. That season begins on Epiphany as we are welcoming the Magi, or wise men, who have been following that light in the sky, coming to see Jesus. So it is fitting that during this season, which begins with light, that it ends with light as well. And it reminds us that it can take some time for our eyes to adjust to the light of Christ. As Vernon Jones says, where the ordinary is transformed. Peter, James, and John, along with the other disciples, did not always fully understand what Jesus was trying to teach them. In fact, right before the transfiguration, Jesus is telling them that they will need to take up their cross. That kind of light is almost unbearable. That we're called to save our lives by losing them, it can take some time for our eyes to adjust to that kind of light. But on the mountain, Peter, James, and John witnessed Jesus, Moses, and Elijah surrounded by this bright light. They heard that voice say to them, "This is my son, my beloved, listen to him." And it takes us back to the baptism of Jesus, where we heard the same voice say something similar, pointing out that the disciples are still learning. They are still trying to figure out what all this means, that it takes time for our eyes to adjust to the light of Christ. So it is not surprising to hear the Apostle Paul talking about the light of Christ, that it was on the Damascus Road where that light blinded him. Like walking out of the movie theater and the light just being overwhelming. And he reminds us of that moment when Moses came down the mountain after having been in the presence of God, and he had to put a veil on his face because it was glowing. Moses had already come down with the Ten Commandments. But then the people fashioned a golden calf, something that they could worship, that they could control. So Moses throws those tablets on the ground, destroying them. But then he goes back up the mountain and asks God to forgive the people and returns with new tablets, bearing the Ten Commandments, that apparently carrying the light of God into the world is harder than it looks. That we are called to continue to pull back the veil to see more of that light. That seeing the light of Christ in others is not always easy. It can be too bright for us to see. Like the life of that Baptist minister, Clarence Jordan, who created Koinonia Farm in 1942 in Americus, Georgia. Koinonia is the Greek word for fellowship. It calls all people together within the light of Christ. And from its beginning, Koinonia Farm was and still is a place of welcome. It's a place where people eat together, work together, and share life together. And from its beginning in 1942, it focused on racial reconciliation, forming intentional, diverse community. It was a light for the world to see. But from its very beginning, it was criticized, even threatened. There were bullets, bombs, and boycotts. It was criticized even by segments of the church. It was a light too bright to see. Or like the life of that Catholic worker, Dorothy Day, who led the Catholic Workers Movement, trying to create fair working conditions for the poor and the vulnerable, that her work was fueled by her faith, standing in solidarity with those in need. But she was criticized and discouraged at every step along the way. It was not until much later that she was seen and described as an example of faith. It was a light too bright to see. And this can still happen today, where we struggle to see the light of Christ in front of us. That it may take our eyes time to adjust because we are afraid of the criticism of others. Or we might close our eyes because we feel anxious about change. Or we might put a veil over our face because we are unsure of how to carry the light of Christ into this world. When the Freedom Riders were arrested in Jackson, Mississippi, they had been protesting segregation. And the prison guards tried to intimidate them in every way possible. They wanted to make them uncomfortable, to break their spirits. The Freedom Riders were those who traveled from around the country coming to Mississippi to protest segregation. They were civil rights activists. And when they were put in jail, in solidarity with one another, they would keep their spirits up by singing the spirituals. That they may be behind bars, but they still felt free. In order to break their spirits, though, the prison guards took away their mattresses, their little bit of comfort that they had. Now, they were just these thin straw mattresses that didn't provide much comfort, but it was all they had. That they wanted the Freedom Riders to stop singing. They wanted them to accept defeat. They wanted them to give up hope. And on the verge of despair, as the singing started to become quiet, it is said that a young student stepped forward, that he stood up to remind everyone what they were doing and why they were doing it. He said, "They don't want to take away your mattress, they want to take away your soul. It's your soul they want to take away." So they said, everyone started to call out to the prison guards, "Come and take my mattress. You cannot have my soul." And everyone kept on singing. It reminds us that we cannot always see the light of Christ with our eyes, that we might also see it through our singing or our prayers, through the gift of shared community or the acts of generous service. It might be through gracious fellowship or genuine kindness, that we not only see the light of Christ with our eyes, but also with our hearts through empathy, through humility, through compassion, through patience. And when we catch a glimpse of the light of Christ, the ordinary is transformed, and our lives will glow with the love of God. Amen.